Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. This past Wednesday, at our staff meeting, I asked two questions. If you could go back in time, if you could meet anyone from the past, who would you like to meet? What would you ask them? The staff sat for a moment, and here are some of their responses. Hank said he would like to meet his maternal grandmother. She died when Hank's mom was 18, so he never met her, but could tell she had quite an influence on his mother. Peter would like to meet the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, because some of his writings sound very much like the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. Since Lao Tzu lived centuries before Jesus, was Jesus influenced by the teachings of Lao Tzu that probably migrated to that part of the world? Susan Marshall would like to meet God and simply ask, why are we here? Jude, our seminarian, would like to talk with Mary Magdalene and have her divulge what it was like to be in the company of Jesus and his disciples. She would like to ask what it was like to sit around the campfire at night after a hard day of preaching and healing. Elaine couldn't decide. Jeannie would like to hang out with Francis of Assisi. And at that point, Hank said, I bet I know who you want to meet. Francis, huh? And I said, well, yes and no. In the Bell Ringer this month, I wrote an article that St. Francis of Assisi is one of my favorite saints. And today we celebrate our patron of St. Francis, the namesake of our church. So, of course, I've been thinking about him, even remembering Assisi, the countryside I visited 20 years ago. So what would it be like to go back in time and see Francis in action? But to be honest, I would hesitate at first to meet such a holy person like Francis. So honest, so transparent, so unconditionally loving, so disarming, yet inviting. And I would find it a challenge to sit down with him because of his radical simplicity, his embrace of a simple lifestyle so extreme that he called it Lady Poverty. I imagine him in a roughly textured robe with a rope around his waist. But I would like to hide from him that I sometimes indulge in retail therapy. Even finding it fun to go to Costco to find out what I didn't know I needed. I like to shop for ethnic jackets and colorful scarves. Yet the light of Jesus and Francis would overshadow all my excuses, and I would like to spend some time with him, listen to him talk about his love of God and God's people, and share in his amazing peace and acceptance. Francis began a transformation in his early 20s. When he walked away from the riches of his father and a very wealthy lifestyle, he prayed to know what to do with his life. He heard from the cross he was praying in front of, Jesus asking him to build his church. He took it literally and began to build the fallen-down church of San Damiano. Our first reading from the prophet Nehemiah has a similar theme. The prophet is sad, and the king notices and asks why. He was sad because the graves, the city of his ancestors, was in ruins. He wondered if he could go and rebuild. The king granted him permission. He went off to go rebuild, and the story ends with the prophet recognizing God's hand blessing him as he set out. When Francis set out, leaving his father behind, all his wealth, he relied on God leading. Jesus was calling him to rebuild the people of God, not a tiny place of worship, to build up the kingdom of God on earth. When Jesus walked the earth, people experienced God. They wanted to be near him. Some left everything to follow him. And today's gospel describes the radical demands of following Jesus. Jesus was such a compelling preacher, teacher, a healer, a presence. Many said, "I will follow you wherever you go." But instead of saying, "Hey, that's great," Jesus replies quite honestly, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then we hear Jesus ask his would-be followers about their focus in life. What were their priorities? What in the world did Jesus mean in this gospel when he said, "Let the dead bury their own dead"? And no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It sounds like Jesus is saying that priority of service to the kingdom of God is above every priority. What does that imply? And it is especially confusing to hear him say, "Let the dead bury the dead." So one way to interpret this is to think of Jesus talking about the spiritually dead, those who are not spiritually alive. In other words, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. But those who are spiritually alive, get out there. For Jesus also taught, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. In losing yourself, you will find yourself. In letting go, you are letting God be God. We do not need to look back in time to see this lived out. In the massacre in Las Vegas, the shooting rampage that killed many also called forth many heroes. Those who were willing to protect the lives of others, those willing to lose their lives for others to live. Listen to any interview, and you will witness a person spiritually alive. There were off-duty first responders, as well as ordinary people who without hesitation chose to help, shield, move, and protect the injured. Jesus was willing to lay down his life as he lived out radical love. And people continue to choose this ultimate expression of love. And Francis chose to lay down his life in everyday living. Francis considered the cost, gave Jesus the highest priority, and after making this commitment, moved forward without looking back. Many came to follow Francis. Many were attracted to his authentic joy, his ability to just be in the moment, his attentiveness to what surrounded him. No wonder we attribute to Francis the following phrase: "Preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words." He lived the gospels. Gospel values were the priorities of Francis, and as he was transformed, he became a channel of peace. Yet Francis never went to seminary and was never ordained. He prayed with the scriptures and grew into an intimate relationship and friendship with God. His actions of love came from his heart, rooted in knowing the good news of Jesus. He knew the truth, and it set him free. Therefore, Francis did not shy away from the politics of his day. Francis was the change society and the church needed over 800 years ago. He addressed the issues of his time: greed, class discrimination, prejudices, issues that caused death of the spirit, unnecessary burdens, fear. He even confronted the Pope about the excesses in the church. The hierarchy lived extravagantly, while the poor suffered hunger, materially and spiritually. He respected the dignity of every human being and all of God's creation and creatures. He, like Jesus, found his home in nature. We hear of his love affair with nature in our second reading, the Canticle of the Sun. His life was renewed each day in God's creation, with brother sun and sister moon, brothers wind, air, and fire, sister water. All made him spiritually alive with Mother Earth, spiritually available to serve his human brothers and sisters. Francis was quite a guy, and so are you. You are quite a person, made in the image and likeness of God. God made only one St. Francis, and God made only one of you. God invites each of us to be spiritually alive, not lifeless. God invites people to be channels of peace, now more than ever. God needs people. God invites people willing to rebuild the people of God. So I ask, if you would like to go back into time with me and meet Francis, I would say to you, you do not need to. You can find his spirit in the people of this St. Francis Church. For today we celebrate our Francis, who models and inspires us to intimate love of God, others, and the world. Amen.